like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. And before we go any further, I want to thank all those who supported Talking Animals and me in the WMNF Fall Fun Drive, which just concluded 1 hour ago, although our time up to bat was a week ago. So we appreciate all the support, and we still need a bit more. Overall, the station fell a little short of its goal. So again, you can call 813-238-8001 or go to WMNF.org. Make up if you didn't have a chance to pledge, or even if you did and you want to pledge again to help us out, that would be great. So meanwhile, today my guest on Talking Animals is Stephen Bennett, founder and executive director of Suncoast Organized Animal Relief, or SOAR. Launched in 2015, SOAR pursues a mission that involves an unusually broad portfolio of objectives, including providing funding to nonprofit animal rescue organizations whose own missions emphasize humane education, as well as addressing animal overpopulation and animal abuse. SOAR also strives to open and maintain pet food banks, extending a helping hand to those whose current struggles have made it difficult to afford to feed their pets, in addition to aiming to assist domestic animals and their humans in these and other ways. SOAR somehow seeks to also help an array of aquatic wildlife. So I was not whistling Dixie when I mentioned SOAR's unusually broad portfolio. So we'll hear about the decisions that led to this relatively new organization's distinctive scope, how that's working so far, if any focus areas have emerged, and more when I speak with Stephen Bennett in a few moments here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Later on in today's program, we'll play an extended new piece by Jim Gaffigan in the Comedy Corner, and I'll offer an animal news and announcement segment, something we don't get a chance to do very often these days given the current format of the show. But for many years, that segment was a mainstay of Talking Animals, and it's been suggested it should return to the show at least periodically, so later in today's program, it will, albeit briefly. So if your organization has a fundraiser, adoption event, or something else happening in the coming weeks, I invite you to quickly email me just a sentence with the basic details of that event to dj@wmnf.org, and we'll try to include that when we get a part of the show a little bit later on. As you may know by now, we are prohibited from mentioning the cost of any service or event, even if it's free, and the only exemption is WMNF events. Right now, let's get to Stephen with the reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. This is Stephen Bennett on Talking Animals. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Duncan. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals. And, of course, we're here chiefly to discuss SOAR. But since you're the person who founded the organization with what looks like sprawling ambition, I'd like to first spend a few minutes covering your background a bit. So how far does your connection with animals go? How far back?
No. Oh, boy. I'm showing my age here. Let's see. I've been doing rescue now, Duncan, about 27, 28 years.
Wow.
So I was on the front lines for a long time. And then I got in 1995. I opened up a dog grooming shop and a boarding kennel in Largo. And I wanted to do something to continue rescue. So I started doing free boarding for rescues when they didn't have foster homes for them. After Hurricane Katrina, we took in a lot of the animals from New Orleans. We would offer free grooming when they would raid a puppy mill. We would come in and bring a staff in and shave them all down and help them take care of the animals. So
that's great. So even prior to that 27 years ago where you maybe first got into rescue, what did animals mean to you as a kid in your formative years? Were they important then? Or
That's funny you brought that up, actually. I wasn't allowed to have pets as a kid. We lived in downtown Ithaca, New York, and my parents just thought this isn't the place to have a dog or a cat, you know, or whatever.
And they were concerned with what? The mess, the upkeep, the care? the feeding?
More because we didn't have a big backyard and we didn't have space for them. And with five kids, you know, they were...
Right, they had their hands full right there. Exactly. They had a little bit of a menagerie, I guess.
But I had a next-door neighbor, Claire Patterson, who I lived vicariously through her. They had her family had all the cats and all the dogs and turtles and rabbits.
Oh, wow.
And, so I would spend a lot of time over at their house, and I fell in love with the animals, and I just couldn't wait to have animals my own, and it didn't come until a long time later.
Yeah, how old were you when that opportunity did come to correct that injustice?
Well, we got two family pets. When I was probably 20 or whatever, then we had moved out into the country. And at that point, I wasn't, you know, I was getting ready to leave home. So, but I would still come back and take care of them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved here, I knew I lived in apartments and I didn't have time. I was busy working all the time and I knew it wasn't fair to get them. So, when I had the boarding kennel and the grooming shop, one of the dogs that came in was a little toy poodle named Jake, and he had been found in the woods in Tampa. His leg had been broken, so he had a little cast on, and he came in, and he was just... I put him in my arms. I fell in love with him, and that was it. I took him home, and so at one point I had four rescue dogs and four rescue cats.
Making up for lost time there, sounds like.
Yeah, exactly, and they all had wonderful lives. I do adopt, tend to adopt older animals, so I... adopted a 13-year-old poodle several years ago, and we just sent her to the Rainbow Bridge in December, but she was 21 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about a good, happy life.
She had a wonderful life. So
now let me ask you what may be a surprising question. Are you still in touch with Claire Patterson?
Claire, we lost Claire about 15 years ago.
Okay. Because the reason I was going to ask is if she, I was curious to know, since she had so many animals growing up, if she was still an animal person. Because one of the reasons I usually ask that kind of question, depending on the guest, is that sometimes the guests, especially if they're really involved with animals or animal rescue or something, or like, you know, grew up like Claire Patterson did. And often, though, they grew up like you did. Like deprived kind of in a sense of animals.
Right.
And sometimes that's, whether it's conscious or not, that's sort of a drive later on. It's like, well, now I can have some animals. I'm going to have some, damn it.
You know? No, she never lost that. And we had lost touch for years. And then the last couple of years of her life, I got her to move down to Florida from New York. And
nice.
And she had animals, several cats, and she had a rescue dog when she moved here, which I took after she passed. So she was a great soul, and I miss her and love her dearly.
But, sure.
She did a lot for animals.
Nice. So how did you first kind of wander into the dog grooming world?
I had been doing restaurant work, as many of us do. I had studied acting in New York, and then, of course, we work in restaurants, and moved down here, and I was tired of it after 20 years, and friend of mine said, I said, what am I going to do? I want to do something. He said, you love animals. He said, you don't have any, but he said, why don't you become a dog groomer? He said, or something like that. And I had never thought of that. It never occurred to me. And I said, So 2 days later, I was in Tampa, dog grooming school. And somebody walked in and said, hey, there's a shop for sale over in Pinellas County. So I went over that night and looked at it. And 3 days later, I, you know, took $1,000 off this credit card and $2,000 off this one, and just enough to buy it, and borrowed some money from my parents, and walked into a grooming shop, never having been in one in my life.
Wow. So that's you know, there's a pack of gum or a candy at the checkout line, and then there's the impulse buy like this where you're buying a grooming shop. So you must have had some kind of instinct where you thought, I've never done this. I've just started taking classes, but this is the right thing for me.
It felt right. I walked in, I just said this. It was run down. It was dirty. It was, I said, it just feels right.
That's great. Yeah. And so I take it, you know, given how long you ended up doing it from your earlier comment, that it did work out well.
Yeah, I had it for many years. I did sell it because I opened up one of the first pet boutiques and doggy bakeries in Tampa Bay, and that went really well. And then I started working on a pet photography book, and I took up photography, and I opened a photography studio for pets. And then the recession of 2007 hit, and luckily I had sold the grooming and the boarding, sold it, but the other ones, you know, people weren't paying, you know, $800 for photos for
Pets, money's
whatever,
a little tight for that kind of luxury.
So I went into another line of work, and then said, now time to start pursuing what I really want to do and what's been on my mind for a lot of years.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into more of that in a sec. But I'm curious, given all those years in the dog grooming business, I have at least two questions. One is, what did you learn about dogs during all that time?
Oh, Don, that's a long list.
Well, just a few notable things then, maybe.
That they really do have feelings, that they really do sense our feelings, that they make me laugh.
Yeah.
Dogs and cats. I could sit and look at them all day long. They just make me... that they have a heart, that they're little souls. Each one of them are mm-hmm. individual souls, and they... And you have to cater to that soul. I mean, I told you, 8 pets at one time, and
right.
every single one of them were different, and they were so unique as they are.
And when you say dogs and cats, I mean, how often did cats get groomed at the grooming shop?
I was one of the only ones that would do them because they were difficult. So I had a lot of cats.
Really?
Because
what do they do,
them
scratch
down.
And flip out? Is that why it doesn't happen that commonly? Or
right. And there's and then I kind of developed a way when somebody came in and asked, well, I did my cat because he had skin allergies really bad and and nothing the vets were doing was working. So I said, you know, I'm going to get this hair off him and shaved him down. And he was a... pretty easygoing cat, so he
okay.
was easier than most. But,
yeah.
Of course, bath time, not most cats don't like it. So I learned a technique to really kind of have one person massaging their neck while I'm slowly turning this water on, started on the back end of them and slowly let the water come up. And I got really good at it. So I did there are days I'd be doing 15 cats in a day. They were time-consuming,
too. So word
too.
Got out, like, hey, if you have a cat and you're thinking, I'm going to get this cat groomed, Steven's the guy to go to.
And they actually feel really cool when they're smooth like that. And,
and
I don't tell people to do it unless the cat, number one, if they mat up and their fur is really long. And a lot of people don't take care of them and brush them. And they'll get mats and knots in them.
Yeah.
So,
That's interesting. So here's my other question from all those years in dog grooming, or what it turns out is dog and cat grooming. What did you learn about the people that take their dogs, or it turns out in this case, as well as their cats to groomer? Was there any sort of profile that kind of emerged over the years, people that do that? Because I know there are a lot of people who don't go to a groomer.
Right, and a lot of them don't because they, there's... places you can bathe your own pets. A lot of people do it at home. A lot of them have short hair, so they don't need haircuts.
Right.
Whatever. There's two types of people. One would come in and have their regular appointments and be there constantly, and we're nervous leaving them for the day until they got comfortable and knew me and knew the staff. And they took great care of their pets and whatever they need, do it for them. Then there were the ones that would come in and their pet hasn't been bathed and groomed in a year and a half. Their fur was a matted mess. And they're like, can you make him or her look pretty? And it's like this poor animal has sores on it. And it would take us a half a day to shave them down.
And what prompted, like in that kind of scenario, what prompted the person that day after not doing anything to look after the animal in that case to bring him in that day?
Probably the smell a lot of the times. They finally just realized, like, oh, this is, their fur would be hard because it was, matted and knotted.
Yikes.
And they'd finally.
So it was
a
form of neglect. It
sure,
sounds like, really.
It was. Yeah. And I wasn't very nice about it after a while with them.
I'm
I was
sure.
kind of like, I would show them the piece that would come off in one piece. I mean, it would take all day long and you'd have to go so slow on them. And it was, I learned not to be so nice about it and just say, like, you know what? I don't want to see this pet in here like this again. Don't bring it to me if you can't get it done sooner. I offered discounts to them and things like that for, hey, you can make payments on it if it's, and it wasn't that much. You're talking about $25 back then.
Yeah. No, because I would think that starts to bespeak, like, well, what's the treatment of, like, this animal otherwise?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ugh. So this is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is Stephen Bennett, the founder and executive director of Suncoast Organized Animal Relief, or SOAR, whose multifaceted mission involves assisting other organizations, animals, and humans. If you'd like to ask Stephen a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663. Email dj at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. So how do you go from grooming and then some other side businesses, the pet photography, et cetera, to launching SOAR? Kind of maybe trace that path for me, if you could.
Sure. I had, as I mentioned a little bit ago, I had started working on a book, and I was going out to L.A. a lot. And it was a pet photography book. It was called Lifestyles of the Rich and Furry, as yet unfinished, also thanks to the recession.
Okay.
But I was going out, and I was interviewing celebrities, and I would have them channel their pet, and I would do the interview with the pet, and the celebrity would answer on behalf of their pet. So I worked on that for a year and a half, and then I thought with the money from the book, I want to open a place called the Paw House Ranch, and it would be for elder animals that people are going to turn in and were done with and still had life left in them. And I wanted to have a place for them to go and finish out their life. So I, having a boarding kennel, I realized how time-consuming taking care of the animals is. Mm-hmm. It's 365 days a year. And I thought, you know what, let me morph this into something else. And I thought, why don't I raise money for the existing rescues that are already out there and for individuals that don't have anywhere to go and don't know, you know, where, hey, don't have enough money. They've lost their job for pet food, you know, whatever. So I thought, you know, that would be good. Let's go that route. And then it just kind of festered and I kept thinking about it and making notes for a couple of years. And then I, in 2015, I, you know, realized I'm, you know, I got more of the road behind me than in front of me. Mm-hmm. So
if I'm going to do this, yeah.
It's time. So yeah. I had some help and from my sister coming up with the name and from a friend, Sharon Donnelly, I immediately brought her on board. She's a passionate animal lover and has been my right arm for this organization. And I started figuring out what we're going to do. And so we kept adding things to it and kept getting bigger and bigger. So I wanted to bring people in that would, I would put them in their special area. If they were into sea animals and sea life and sea turtles and stuff like that, I'd have them work on this committee. And we're still doing that because we also do beach cleanups as well. And so I just thought, let's open up pet food banks for those in need. They'll be available to rescues and let's just do fundraisers year round. To raise pet food, supplies, funds, and let's just build a nice foundation and go from there. And I'm
so because I already in our conversation in the intro, I've noted that compared to most organizations I've been aware of or interviewed folks that lead or whatever, SOAR does seem to have a gigantically broad and sprawling missions, you know, which is fine depending on how it all goes and in the execution. So one of the things I'm curious about is it sounded like you kind of gradually, as you were building or preparing to build the organization, you just thought, okay, well then, yeah, maybe sea creatures and this over here. But did you already sort of conceive it as pretty broad-based initially and then just widened out even further? Or once you got going, it just started to kind of keep expanding and...
Yeah, kind of took on a life of its own. And also once we started out small and I said, I don't want to... we had a lot of media contact us early on and say, like, let's do a story on it. And I didn't want to do a story until we had some things under our belt. I didn't want to say, we want to do this, we want to do that.
Right.
I wanted to do them first and then
we'd
get them underway.
Yeah.
And then go to the press and... and the people in the community. So we started in St. Petersburg, which is where we're based, but we cover the whole Tampa Bay area. I was gonna say, it took a life of its own on, and it got bigger and bigger. And then people would come up to me and say, "Hey, can you why don't you do something for the sea life?" And I thought, like, you know, well, that's great. You know, yeah, we can do beach cleanups. We can start. You know, I'm very big into the environment as well as a huge cause of mine. So I said, yeah, we need to start doing something there. And then people said, what about our wildlife? You know, we're taking away all these wooded areas and we're building like crazy. And there's more wounded wildlife and dead wildlife than ever before. So let's start in that area. Animals are going extinct. The Florida panther. It's endless. And it's, you know, it's all about everything from planting trees and the environment, the ecosystem. So there's so many areas that we can expand to and that we're trying to.
And were there occasions where either in your mind you thought, well, hey, what about this? This is being neglected. Maybe we could address this too. Or people suggesting that knew that SOAR was underway or maybe earlier on even in the formation stage where you thought, okay, I can't really do that too. Or, you know, there's got to be a limit here because otherwise we're going to be so sprawled that I'm not sure how effective we can be or if we have enough resources to do all those things. So how did you weigh that? Just because, again, to the outside kind of bystander, it still looks like gigantically sprawling.
It is. Yeah. It's, to me, sometimes, you know, if I had done everything I'm doing now, the first year, I probably would have fallen apart. I was, and it seems daunting. And I think the reason it seems daunting to people is because nobody's done it yet.
I mean, nobody's done this kind of model, you mean?
Or, right, exactly. Yeah. And it's, and you know, we're not, there's so many rescue organizations and got large and small, and we wanted to be there for all of them. And people don't realize there are hundreds of rescue organizations in the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah.
And they get kind of pushed to the wayside, a lot of the smaller ones.
Pushed to the wayside by
just because
what?
They're working out of their homes. They're fostering out of their homes. They don't have a facility. They don't have a shelter.
So you're talking about sort of super small mom and pop or one person operations.
And some of those you have to be careful from because some of those are 501c3s that are registered or registered for the wrong reasons, and they're not. And you kind of have to feel them out and make sure they're reputable and they're doing the right things for the animals.
Right.
But there's a lot of them that just work so hard and get no money and get fly by the seat of their pants, and they do great work.
Yeah.
And we want to kind of highlight them too and be there for them, and we have been, and the response has been wonderful from them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There should never be competition in animal rescue. They're all doing an amazing job, most of them. They're all for the same cause, and we're all there for. It's about the animals.
Yeah.
It's not about us. So it shouldn't be competition ever.
Right. At the same time, I'm curious that when there's a smaller rescue like you referred to, that, or at least I call it a mom and pop or one person rescue, which you mentioned, do you assess them before you say, hey, they're part of the SOAR network or, before? Just because to me, sometimes, as you say, those things, whether they're 501c3 or not, sometimes there's unfortunately, very thin line between some of those super small operations and the next thing you know, it turns out it's a hoarding operation or as we learned recently, a puppy mill operation.
Right.
So how do you determine who's going to be added to the SOAR network?
Well, we luckily we have not had to say no to anybody. So I went to, and now we're growing. So it's, at some point, who knows, but we are expanding out but we're getting more followers we don't have any big donors yet. We have the $5 and $2 mm-hmm. and they've been amazing. And we have, done all the finance, all this through that, but it's, a good example. I had a woman who put on Facebook somebody else shared it. And she said that her garage had been broken into. She had a cat rescue in Tampa and that they stole all her food. So she didn't leave a phone number, but she had an address. So we loaded up a truck, took it over there, and gave her way more than what she had. And I went inside and saw the kittens and the cats mm-hmm. and the rooms. And the place was very clean.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then I started seeing her on Facebook, and it was just a lot of drama and a lot of people kind of coming after her and saying, putting her out there. So I kind of said, but you know what? These animals still need to be helped.
Right.
So,
but you might not be as big a hurry next time if she's putting out an SOS.
Yeah, and I haven't seen her around lately. So I'm wondering if, if it's she stopped taking them in or whatever. Like that.
Right.
But if people are on to her. So
it's
hard and it's heartbreaking because there's so much need out there, and you don't need that crap to be
right.
going on.
No, for sure. Well, speaking of helping her, at least bringing food over that, in that case, let's talk a little bit more about the food banks, because that feels like kind of a central component of the SOAR operation. So maybe you could just briefly describe those banks and how they're supplied.
Okay, well, it's one bank that just opened, number one, to start with. But we've been raising money for our own facility, where anybody in the Tampa Bay area, and that covers Sarasota, Bradenton, Ruskin, Brandon, the beaches, Pinellas, Hillsborough, they can come to us, and when they lose a job, they're down and out, they don't have the money. Instead of giving them up to a shelter, we will help them provide food. We had a woman that for the last 3 years has had cancer and had a lot of rescue cats. We were providing kitty litter so that she didn't have, because it was very expensive in food, so she didn't have to give them up. So we have AIDS patients, war veterans. We just opened up our first pet food bank at a place called Daystar Life Center in St. Petersburg. They've been around since the early 80s, and they help people get back on their feet by helping them find jobs and providing food and things like that. So we went to them and said, hey, do a lot of your clients have pets? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, do you do pet food? And they said, no, we don't supply any of that. And I said, well, why don't we put a pet food bank in for your clients? And they were thrilled with that idea. So that she was like, wow, that would be amazing. So it just got opened a couple of weeks ago in a new location. And they have just the head of it, Jane Walker, the executive director, just said that until SOAR has our own location, that our clients will be able to use that to go and get pet food for their food. So,
nice.
So that's very cool. So we're going to be, the eventual goal is to have them open in Hillsborough, Bradenton, all over the place. So That's the eventual goal.
So, Stephen, with what you mentioned earlier about so far not really any big donors and maybe getting $5 here, $10 there, how are you collecting the food to put the food bank together or to help someone who seems to be in distress, the cat woman you mentioned with the rescue, et cetera? Where does the financing come from? But I take it also as probably contributions of pet food.
Right. We do pet food drives constantly. We'll put it out there on our Facebook page and our website saying, hey, we need food. You know, we're low on cat food. We need, this or that. And people show up, they contact us. We do fundraisers year round. So we'll do things from drag queen bingo nights to painting with a twist or whatever. All that money go. If we don't have the supplies in stock, we will go out and buy it for people. So
I see. So that money raised then, if you're not getting the donations of the food directly, then whatever you generated by those recent events will be used to purchase the food.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's why we keep getting a certain amount, thinking like, oh, we're close to getting our location. Then all of a sudden, a Hurricane Michael hits, or Hurricane Dorian hits.
Right.
So it's all
kind of setback.
Gets depleted, but you know what, as we go along, we're fine. We're fine.
Yeah.
We're helping a lot of people, so we'll get there.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, let's take a caller and see if we can get them involved in the conversation. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Stephen Bennett. Oh, okay. I'm not sure what happened there, but it looked like we had a caller. Maybe they'll call back. So, yeah, I guess I'm curious to know if there's a way that you are figuring out or putting in motion to raise money more steadily and or get some kind of sponsor, pet food or otherwise, that would make it less crisis to crisis or moment to moment to provide the food that you're trying to provide to people who really need it.
Right. Well, again, just the continuous the fundraisers, year round, month to month, every month there's fundraisers. But also we have made great friends with Pet Supplies Plus in Pinellas Park in Clearwater, and they have donated their food banks, pet food banks, to us. So they get filled up every week, and we go in, and they've been amazing.
That
chain is individually owned, so
yeah.
Those two locations have been great to us, and we partnered up with us. We have some big things coming up with them as well. So Charlie Lang and Paul Kadim, the owners, have embraced us and said, "Hey, we love what you guys are doing, and we support it, and let's help you as much as we can." So. We're getting more places like that.
Right.
As word gets out, kind of.
Yeah.
A lot of places.
All right. We'll come back to, I think there's a couple of dates we want to hit coming up, but we'll try one more time on the, hi, you're on Talking Animals. I guess not. Okay. Well.
Stage fright.
Well, it also may be that our phones are a little.
Well, you guys are busy with your fundraising today and everything
else. Right,
that's
what I mean. We just ended that, so that may be part of why things are a little tricky. But let's talk, just so we be sure to cover this before we finish our conversation overall, it's because you alluded to it, but let's talk about the specifics, because I think over the next couple of weeks there are, there's a weekend full of food drive sort of related events and other things, right, at Pet Supplies Plus?
Right, exactly. So the aforementioned Pet Supplies Plus, we have another event coming up that it's ongoing right now that will end in November. But right now, after Hurricane Dorian hit, there was another organization called the Bruno Foundation. They're a pet rescue in St. Pete, a small little organization. And they have been making sure that the Florida Panhandle, has not been forgotten. They were hit last year, like I said, with Hurricane Michael, Category 5. They had over 1,000 horses left behind, over 1,000 dogs and cats. It's still ongoing. There's still constant need. It's almost as bad as it was a year ago.
Yeah.
So we have put together this pet food drive after Dorian hit, because we said, let's get some food and supplies together for the Bahamas, which we've already sent some. And with the Bruno Foundation, we paid for a big moving truck and fuel and helped them raise. They did most of the food, but we raised over 11 tons of pet food and supplies last month.
Wow.
Up there, and it's almost gone. So we just actually sent another truck up this past week with a full moving truck up, which Pet Supplies Plus, their parent company, donated 12 pallets of food.
Holy cow! Yeah, so that's great.
That was
a huge
awesome
difference. Yeah.
So we have put together this fundraiser, and it's really big, and we're hoping the community will come out. It's October 19th and 20th at Pet Supplies Plus in Pinellas Park. We have a large moving truck, and we're going to have radio remotes out there, and we're going to have food trucks, and we just want the community to come out, and Pet Supplies Plus is discounting all the things on our wish list for us to fill this big truck, and it's going to be driven on Sunday. It's a two-day event, like I said. But we'll have raffles, just really trying to raise as much food supplies and fill this truck. And it's a great feeling, and it does your heart good when you see these trucks get filled up. And the Panhandle, like I said, we sent that truck up last week, and they sent me back some photos. And very moving. Everybody, the community showing up to help unload this big truck. And then they sent me photos of one person went around with a truckload, and there's a lot of homeless people up there, and a lot of them have dogs.
Okay.
And so they sent me a picture back of these two homeless men, and they're holding up with big smiles on their face, and they're holding up a bag of food like it's a bag of gold.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I saw it, and it just got me very choked up. And
for
like,
sure.
It's why we do it.
Right. So if people are interested in donating to this event on October 19th and 20th, a couple questions. One is, would they just go to your Facebook page to find out the details? Because one of the things I guess I would wonder about right off the bat is, what kind of food is most helpful? And conversely, people might be well-intentioned, but maybe bring or donate food that's not as practical for those purposes.
Needed. We do have a wish list that will be in the two Pet Supplies Plus stores that we mentioned, Pinellas Park and Clearwater. I'm going to be putting on Facebook, actually, this in the next day or two. The wish list will be up there, what's most needed in order.
Okay.
So we will have that there. And anything help. It's all needed.
Right.
More people tend to bring dog food than cat food, and there's so many feral cat colonies up there, and just a lot of homeless cats. So they tend to forget, not bring as much for the cats. So I usually put their list for, wet cat food, dry cat food, kitty litter, those things. And then we go into the dog stuff, and then, pee pads and flea control prevention and litter boxes and things like that.
Sure.
So
blankets, all the basics.
Pet food bowls,
nice.
All that stuff. So we're, like I said, this is going to be one of our biggest events we've ever done, and we're pretty excited about it.
Should generate, based on your history and what you've said, it should generate quite a bit of food and supplies and stuff.
We're getting some, and I appreciate you letting us have a platform here today to promote this as well. So that was great.
Well, speaking of platform, let's try one more time, taking our caller here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Stephen Bennett.
Yes, where is this pet supply located in Pinellas Park?
It is right on the corner of Park Boulevard and Belcher. There's a public shopping center in there.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure. And I recently had to change my dog's diet, and I have a whole box of that moist and meaty.
That's awesome.
The individual packages.
Sure.
Some of them, I use some of them, but there's still a whole lot. Can I bring that?
Yes, you may. People can go into Pet Supplies Plus and buy what they've discounted, but you can bring it from your own pantry, certainly. We appreciate any and all, and they're very much in need. So
and it's October 19th and 20th.
Right, 11 to 5 on Saturday and 11 to 4 on Sunday, and then the truck heads out at 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay, perfect, because I'm probably one of the few people in this world that don't use computers, so I'm not on Facebook or
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's great that you're listening. And
make sure I got the right place.
No, that's really wonderful that you called in to verify that, and it sounds like you very much plan to donate, so that's terrific.
That's great. Thank you so much. Okay. I appreciate
Thank
that
you.
Very much.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's great. I mean, you almost feel like you just sort of got lucky to scoop her up because if she's not on a computer, I'm not sure how else.
I get choked up with this stuff. I wear my heart in my sleeve, so this stuff, little things like that. When you start an organization like this, you're plugging away, and it's just so hard to get anybody to
get
help.
Momentum,
so when you get somebody
right?
that just comes out and says, you don't have to ask twice. They're there. Because a lot of them, I have been knocking on doors, and I have been begging.
Right.
And it's like...
just stuff like what you said when you saw the picture of the homeless gentleman there that had gotten the food for their dogs. Yeah. It's like, wow. Think, well, without that, what's
exactly.
life like for those guys and their dogs?
Yeah,
so,
exactly. So
that's cool. Now, also, I think if I read this correctly in the information, there's another fundraiser that's kind of more fluid or ongoing that SOAR is running. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. It's called Sweepstakes for SOAR. It started, it's a 3-month fundraiser. It ends November 15th, I believe. Yeah, November 15th. This is pretty big, too. This is, we have raffle tickets for a suggested $5 donation per ticket. You can get them on our website.
We're not really supposed to say the amount of anything. As
oh, I'm sorry. I'm
show,
sorry.
But that's okay.
But anyway, so we have those, and There's going to be a drawing on November 15th. The grand prize is a minute-and-a-half shopping spree with a winner running through Pet Supplies Plus and Clearwater, filling as many shopping carts as possible.
Wow.
So it's going to be a spectacle.
Right,
and
out of a game show. New,
exactly. Yeah. That's what they used to do in small towns back in the 60s and stuff. And it's going to have a $2,000 obedience training gift certificate from Pet Peeves and Wendy Kelly. But then there's like 11 runner-up prizes that are awesome. A helicopter ride for two, either over Clearwater beaches or over St. Petersburg. There's a beautiful diamond, a sea turtle pendant from the Golden Diamond Source donated.
Nice.
Concert tickets, hockey tickets, a signed hockey stick by Steve Stamkos. Guy Harvey donated two prints that he signed and two Guy Harvey hats.
Covering a lot of ground there in those prizes.
Tickets, three-day, two-night stay at the Barrymore Hotel, and two tickets to Miss Saigon at the Straz.
Wow.
55-inch HD TV. So there are some great prizes. And so we hope to raise a lot of money from that come November. So
great. Well, that reminds me, I want to mention that the website, although we have mentioned Facebook a couple of times, there is a website, FLSOAR, S-O-A-R, as in the acronym. So FLSOAR.org. We can find out all kinds of information, including some of these details and more about the organization and its leadership and the scope that we've talked about in terms of people who are helped and served. And again, we're talking with Stephen Bennett, who's the founder of Suncoast Organized Animal Relief, or SOAR, and that's, again, St. Pete's base. We have just about a minute or maybe a little bit more left at the most. If you'd like to quickly call in a question at 813-239-9663, email dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So let me ask you this, just because we might be in our last moment or so here, Stephen. So you mentioned earlier you founded SOAR in 2015, so that's about 4 years ago.
Right.
What do you hope SOAR will look like in 4 or 5 years from now?
I hope, as I said, to have a pet food bank in various locations in the area that'll be easy for people to get to, because so many pets are given up just because people can't afford their food.
Sure.
And it's really that simple. And the shelters are overflowing. So I hope to have an area that's really we're working on some programs to put into schools, to implement in the schools, to start teaching kids when they're young. Stop, throwing your plastic bottles on the ground. Stop, start taking care of this. For the most part, we live on an island in Florida. our waters are getting dirtied up. There are tons of plastic, and our sea life is suffering from it. And so I hope to really make a difference in that area. We've already hauled away thousands of pounds of recyclables and trash. So I want to get kids excited about these programs and get involved in them. We want to have the food banks going strong. Education, it's all about education. And we just really need to have and to cut down on our euthanasia rates. So there's so many aspects of it. It's just like I said, I'm 60 now, so I want to, for the next 10 years, build it up to a really strong foundation and then turn it over to some younger hands and say, keep it going forward.
Take it and run with
it.
So would it look like over the next 4 or 5 years and then even beyond, like let's say you sound like you're giving yourself 10 years to really kind of build and have it evolve. So would it look similar in terms of the scope? Do you imagine it would even widen out further to cover more things and be have more affiliations with organizations?
Do you think you
see yourself focusing in certain areas over time as time marches on?
Or? Well, SOAR is also on the St. Pete Paul's Committee. I know you had Mayor Christman on recently, so we're also a part of that.
Right.
So we're working on programs, and we just got St. Petersburg just won the $30,000 grant, Better Cities for Pet Coalition. It's a national thing going on, competition, and St. Petersburg won large city best large city for pets.
Right.
City. So,
some real bragging rights there.
It was very, very cool. So we're doing a lot of things with them. And I wanted to also go into some of these areas that have some abandoned areas and they're run down and try to get funding up for them and make them into dog parks. Beautify them, haul away the trash, put planter boxes in there and grow things. And then just have some nice fenced-in dog parks and make these areas nicer, utilize them for something much better, and give people more places to go for their animals, keep them safe.
Yeah.
So
cool.
That's
one. Sounds like all kinds of noble ambitions.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. We'll get there.
That's great. All right. Well, Stephen, thanks so much. We've been speaking with Stephen Bennett again, the founder and executive director of Suncoast Organized Animal Relief, or SOAR. And the website is flsoar.org. And I've noted a few times there. It can, of course, also be found on Facebook and other social media. So thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Duncan, thank you very much. And a quick happy 87th birthday to my mama, Sophie. I'm coming over to see you.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Thank you, sir.
In a few moments, we'll step into some animal news and announcements. Right now, though, it's time for the Comedy Corner, where, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we'll hear a longer piece from Jim Gaffigan's new album, which is a counterpart to Quality Time, his new stand-up special on Amazon. This is most of a piece called Saw a Bear in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals on WMNF.
I was in Alaska, so I thought this was perfect. So I returned to my family, and we immediately went on a hike. And it was great. Alaska's beautiful. My kids were having fun. I was pretending like I enjoyed being outside. And then suddenly we saw a bear like 500 yards away, this huge brown bear, like way bigger than a gummy bear. And I was so excited because I watched nature shows, but I had never seen a bear in person. So it felt like a celebrity sighting. I was like, oh my God, I've watched you on Animal Planet. It's so much taller in person. Can we do a selfie? But unlike a celebrity sighting, there was the risk of death. Like, you never hear, we're in a restaurant, Tom Hanks walked in, and then he came over and murdered my family. That never happens. But the bear was far away, so I took out my phone and I started taking pictures, and then suddenly the bear stood up, roared, and looked right at me. Started creeping towards me, tilting his head back and forth, almost like he recognized me. That guy looks like Philip Seymour Hoffman. I was terrified. Luckily, we were with a tour guide, and I looked at him, and he goes, don't worry, I have bear spray. And I was like, do you have anything stronger? Like a bear gun? Because I don't think this bear's approaching to get his hair done. And the bear kept coming. And then suddenly the tour guy goes, okay, I want everyone to start walking backwards slowly. Walk backwards slowly. I guess so the bear could catch up. So we started walking backwards slowly. By then, the bear was in a full sprint. I had surgery 12 hours ago, so I smelled delicious. I was also sunburned, so I probably looked like a giant land salmon. Bear couldn't believe his luck. Like, I'm not going to have to eat for a month. He's like, I'm going to die. I'm going to be eaten by a bear. Which is ironic, given how many animals I've eaten. So I started humming Circle of Life and continued walking backwards slowly. I should point out, it's not like we were walking backwards slowly to a car or a cabin. We were walking backwards slowly to nothing. It probably looked like we were teasing the bear, like, come and get it, Mr. Bear. You looking to get a little grizzly? Craving a little 2XL, are you? And before you knew it, the bear was upon us, and he killed us, and we died. Such a bloody mess. No, what really happened is at one point, the tour guy pulled out this thing. It looked like a pen. I was like, great, he's going to ask for the bear's autograph. And I learned later on it was a bear flare, and he squeezed it, and this tiny fireball went out towards the bear. And I was like, oh, good, something to anger the bear. But the fireball bounced off the bear stopped, and then just ran the other way like it forgot something at home. And we all looked at each other like, oh, my gosh, that just happened. That just happened. And that's a true story. Well, most of that's true. Well, it's all true, except there was no bear. There was a bear.
That was Jim Gaffigan with most of a piece called Saw a Bear, taken from his new album and Amazon special, both called Quality Time. Now let's get into some animal news and announcements on Talking Animals on WMNF. First, this was kind of international news, but striking in various ways. terms of anybody who cares about or knows much about elephants. Took this from the Washington Post. A number of elephants in a Thai national park that died trying to save a baby elephant from drowning has risen to 11, officials said yesterday. Thai authorities on Saturday initially said 6 elephants were dead after a roughly 3-year-old elephant drowned in KI National Park, about 85 miles northeast of Bangkok. 5 other elephants were thought to have jumped into the waterfall to try to save the baby. The drone has since located other elephants who also tried to save the baby and or responding to the distress of the adult elephants who were trying to save the baby. So sad, but that's elephants for you. Here's kind of a cool story that I think surprised many people from the rubble of Hurricane Dorian. A drone flew over, speaking of drones, over the wreckage using an infrared camera to try to identify heat, a sign of possible life hidden amid the rubble. It had been a month since Hurricane Dorian decimated the Bahamas with Category 5 strength, killing at least 50 people. Search and rescue missions had long ago given way to stoic efforts to recover the bodies of the dead. Then the drone operated by Florida-based shelter Big Dog Ranch Rescue sensed heat. A volunteer trudged more than a half a mile over debris to where an air conditioning unit and piles of metal had trapped the survivor, a 1-year-old mixed breed puppy. So it's a miracle this little dog had the will to live and to survive in the conditions he was in, said Lori Simmons, president and founder of Big Dog Ranch Rescue. And again, now that dog is a national news story, and perhaps rightly so. So that is the will to live. Here's a story that has a couple different animals going on, and plus it has a Kauai connection. So a pair of border collies, this comes from Greensboro, North Carolina, by the way, are working to alleviate what's called a bird issue in Hawaii. The Lihue Airport, and Lihue Airport is on the island of Kauai, is having issues with the Nene bird. And basically that means that the birds are getting too close to the airplane, sometimes having unfortunate encounters with the engines. So these dogs are trained to chase the birds away in a way that's safe for the birds and safe for people nearby. So you can check that out online. You can actually see these dogs being trained in North Carolina, and then they're sent over to Hawaii to help keep the birds at bay at the airport. Now here's a different elephant-related story. This comes from Tallahassee. Took this from the Palm Beach Post. State panel last Thursday, approved new rules for elephant rides in Florida, including adding fencing requirements after rides have been offered within makeshift barriers such as hay bales and portable toilets. Also, future ride operators will need more training in a field that goes back to when traveling circuses annually wintered in Florida, according to rules approved by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission during a meeting in Cape Canaveral. The changes don't go far enough for animal rights activists who would prefer that elephant rides be phased out, but they clarify existing rules, said Major Rob Beaton of the Commission's Division of Law Enforcement. And, of course, there's quotes from other people who thought that even that was too stringent. So here's a story, too, that was just recently published about a study that found cats can connect with people in the same way as dogs and children. And that research was published in Current Biology, and it suggests the social abilities of cats to form human attachments has been greatly underestimated. So the study notes that more cats live with humans than dogs do worldwide, but historically most scientific research has centered on the social relationships between people and dogs. In experiments with cats and humans, the researchers found that cats do show specific, quote, attachment styles toward human caregivers, and suggests that cats share some of the same social abilities that historically have only been linked to dogs. I think that's it. I did note, we'll save that maybe for another time. So, coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Lori with Radioactivity, extending this 3-hour block of interviews, phone calls, news, and more, including in the noon hour midpoint with Nola Lalay. Then at 1 p.m., the music kicks back in with the wonderful show Euro Radio, hosted by Paco Morales, flowing into Scott Elliott, and the also wonderful All Souls edition of It's the Music at 2 p.m. and continuing into the evening, the wee hours, and beyond. Meanwhile, on today's show, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, I'll be offering a DVD copy of Blackfish. So I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. And again, the prize today will be a DVD copy of Blackfish. The first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Johnny is a joker. He's a bird,
a very funny
joker, he's a bird. But when he jokes my honey, he's a dog. His joking ain't so funny, what a dog. Johnny is a joker that's a trying to steal my baby. He's a bird dog. Johnny sings a love song like a bird. Sings the sweetest love song you ever heard. But when he sings to my gal, what a howl. To me he's just a wolf dog on the prowl. Johnny wants to fly away and puppy love my baby. He's a bird dog.
We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. I invite you to join me next week for another edition of the show. Also, invite you to keep in mind, stay tuned right here at WMNF on 88.5 or WMNF.org. And I want to remind you that at 3:30, news break with Sean Canan, he will announce the new general manager of WMNF. So that's great and that's exciting. Meanwhile, I invite you to visit TalkingAnimals.net for audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast. iTunes podcasts are available there, too. There are also links to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, our Twitter feed, and more. Like us on Facebook and do all those other things. Follow us, etc. on Twitter and Instagram. You can also subscribe to our e-newsletter to find out more about our guests and other things going on in the Talking Animals world. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Thanks to all who donated in support of WMNF during our fund drive. And again, we still could use your help at WMNF.org. A donation there or calling 813-238-8001. This is Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weeki, Wachee, and Beyond, NPR News Headlines, and then Rob Loray after that. Thanks.